The album is new, Tales from the Gravel. That's the track called The Drinks Are On Me. What a good idea. And it gives me great pleasure to welcome to the studio on Kansas City Online Radio, on Talk Radio Europe, and of course as a podcast, PAUL, Paul Andrew, Ulysses Lamb, and the rest of the band. And when I had the call about 2 weeks ago saying that Paul was coming to the UK, Paul Andrew Ulysses Lamb, and was going to do a session, acoustic session, I thought, great! That's going to be so unusual, because it's such a full-on rock guy, rock blues guy, to actually do acoustic. It'll be real, really rather something. But sadly, it was not to be, because really the gear is not there. But anyway, I'd love to welcome, well, it's given me so much pleasure to welcome not just Paul, but the rest of the band too. So Paul and Joey on bass and Layla on drums, welcome to the programme. Good to
Hello.
Have you.
Hello, good to have us, man.
I was going to say you're touring in the old style. You used to never stop touring. You seem to be on the road for weeks, months and years even.
Yeah, we live on the
a
road.
Lifetime.
Pretty much, yeah.
And in Europe for a long period of that time as well. When did you come over?
The beginning of April.
April 4th.
April 4th, we landed in Europe. And 16, 17 countries later, we're in England now. And we've been here already for 3 weeks, and we're here till July 2nd.
Promoting the new album, The Gravel Road.
Tales from the Gravel is... it's kind of a soft release. It officially gets released August 11th, but you can get it online and things like that right now. So we kind of came over here to do a little bit of a soft release for, and then we're going to do a proper CD release tour in the fall.
Right. Yeah. Across, coming back to do that again.
Yeah, coming back to do the whole thing again.
So. Now, you recorded it here in the UK, which is, I would have thought, kind of unusual. Was that a deliberate choice to do it here in the Grange Studios?
It kind of came about at the last second. Dave Williams, a producer and owner of Grange Studios, kind of approached us about the idea. And he mentioned the magic word of two-inch tape. And we were like, that sounds attractive. You know, it's been a few years since we've done an album to two-inch. So we went down to a studio, we visited it, and it was just beautiful. Fell in love with it right away. It's just a gorgeous studio.
Fabulous sound out of there, isn't it?
It's amazing, you know. And we went in there and we did it live. It was, you know, kind of old school style. Plugged in, we all in one room together, and just kind of rattled through the tunes till we got them, you know, how we wanted them. It was a really great experience.
Why the harking back to two-inch tape? Was that to give you the headroom and the warmth and all the kind of stuff that comes with recording on the tape? Or
the digital era is really catching up to the analog era, but they're still a little bit different. That sort of tape saturation is great. But I think more than any of that, it was kind of the opportunity to do a record with no safety net. Keeps you honest. Yeah. And, you know, that's what we wanted. And, you know, we know where all the mistakes are in the album. You know, you can hear them. It's riddled with them. But, you know, it's honest, and it was live, and we went in there, and you just ripped it up, you know. And then... went back to the States, and I added, I doubled some of the guitars, you know, so there's rhythm guitars behind the solos and things like that. And we put a couple, you know, some extra vocals on certain songs. But all the bed tracks, all the, you know, all that's everything you're hearing, it's live, you know.
But when you came across to go to the Grange Studios, did the way the album in your head, is that the way it came out, or did it change and grow? Did Dave have much of an influence to it?
That's a great question. The funny thing was, it came about so quick, I really wasn't totally prepared for another record yet. And I had been writing, Joey and Layla hadn't heard any of the songs.
Oh, my God.
They had never heard any of them. And literally, we got into the studio, I would show them a song, we'd record it, you know, work on it in the day. Then at night, as the engineers and producers went to bed, we stayed up all night learning the songs,
right?
Yeah,
and then jamming them out and getting a feel for them, and then the next day we would record them, and then that night we would do, you know, a couple other songs, and that's how we did the record. So
for Joey and Leonard, the songs are 24 hours less than 24 hours old in their own heads.
Sure.
We had no idea. It was very fresh and new.
Which also kept it real and honest, you know.
None of the guitar solos were written or anything like that. It was just boom, here it comes, you know. And to be honest with you, it didn't take more than two or three songs, or two or three takes per song.
Right.
Like, we were on it, you know. Yeah. It was good. And we wanted to keep it. I mean, we could have polished it and made it better and kept going, but that's it's not the vibe we were going for at all.
I mean, studio time is expensive, and so it makes a lot of sense to do it quickly. But are there a couple of things you've just like, shit, I wish we'd spent a bit longer doing that?
But it's like that anyway. You know? Even when you're in Pro Tools and you got all this, there's always something.
Yeah.
You can always make it better, you know. And that's what this was. It's like the kind of the no safety net. It's like, here it is. This is your shot. Do it now because you got to live with it. And it changes the way you play and how you focus and what you put into it, you know.
And presumably, I would guess, as part of promoting the album, you're also doing those numbers on stage. And so have the numbers, stage numbers, have they changed very much from the original tracks you laid down?
Well, again, it's so funny because we were in the middle of a tour when we stopped for 5 days at Grange Studios and hammered out the album and then went back on the road. So these songs, you know, we'd never done them live other than in the studio. So, boom, all of a sudden we started incorporating them in the set, you know. And the good thing about it is they stayed pretty true to form because they were recorded live in the first place. And obviously some songs were a lot easier to pull off live than others and things like that. And you always migrate to the ones, you know, put your best foot forward. But, our new set is primarily, you know, it's a lot of the new record.
Yeah,
there's only two songs from the other records.
Yeah,
and
we're doing a lot of new stuff.
I mean, that's in some ways that's kind of brave in a way, isn't it? Because your fan base is coming to listen to the ones they like, you know. And what you're basically doing is saying, no, this is a new album. There's a couple of old favorites in there somewhere in the set, but I mean, how's the response been to it?
It's sold out.
We sold out of them.
we shipped over some promo CDs that we got a batch of, you know, to send out to people like you know, different radio outlets, and we had a bunch left over. We figured we'd bring them, sell them from the stage, and I shipped over what I thought would be enough to get us through July 2nd when we go back, and we sold out 2 weeks ago.
Didn't make it through May,
so we're really excited about that. And we've got some more getting shipped over for the rest of the shows we're doing, but the last couple of weeks we haven't had any CDs, so it's going well.
And in terms of the actual touring itself, because you also, as you were saying in the kitchen downstairs before we came up here, you've been working with Joanne Shaw-Taylor as well. So is a kind of a, do you have to kind of put a marker in the sand and say, today we're with Joanne and then now we're not?
Well, yeah, and that marker in the sand would get, you know, we would open up, you know, we'd get done.
Yeah.
There's no changeover in gear.
No.
And, you know, Layla and I would pop backstage and splash some cold water on her face. I'd come out and I, you know, playing a different instrument, and I played bass with her, and she'd sit back down on drums. And yeah, it was a, you really have to flip a couple switches in the brain to switch over. But it was a challenge that we were up for, and it was great. It was a lot of work. It was a little more physically demanding than I had anticipated. But you know, we hammered it through. It was great tour.
I mean, your styles are very different. I mean, Joanne, her set and the music that's in her set is different to what's in your set by quite a way.
Oh, yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, we consider it completely different. It's a different mindset altogether, you know. Yeah,
different mindset for you. You're switching instruments. But I just have to take the same instrument but switch my mind and the way I, you know, approach it and think about it. And everything's different, though. It's all apples and oranges, you know.
How long? It's obviously that the three of you have been together a while. How long have you all been together?
Well, Joey, how long have you been with us now?
I've been in the band for about 2 years now.
So he's the newest member. Layla and I have been together about 4 years.
Yeah, about 4 years.
Yeah. So this incarnation's about 2 years old now.
And it's kind of, are you happy with the way the three of you, is three the perfect number?
Yes.
Three is the magic number.
Three is the magic number. I've toured over here before with, you know, keyboard players and rhythm guitar players. When Joey came into the band, because he's such a great vocalist, and he's also an excellent guitar player, which spreads us out for different things. He took up, like, you know, the place of two people. He also plays keyboards.
Yes.
So he's kind of the jack of all trades. And between the three of us, we just had a real natural vibe. And you know, and Layla's a great singer as well. So that's like three lead singers in a band. And, you know, our harmonies were always right there on this, you know, just came real naturally. And it just worked. And just, I don't feel like we're missing anything. You know?
Are you using keyboards on stage?
No.
No.
We're not currently. When we did the album, we did one track.
Yeah.
Two tracks. I played piano on one little part in a bridge section, but Joey played a piano on the ballad, we believe. But live, we don't. We just do it on guitars.
Is that because it takes away the edge, in a sense, do you reckon? Or is there, I mean, is it a conscious decision not to have keys on live? Or?
Well, no, we would love to have keyboards up there. I mean, we could do some stuff. We'd love to have kungas and acoustic guitars. I mean, we'd love to have all that, but
we've been playing two instruments.
Yeah, it doesn't. Singing. It doesn't fit in that little van we got.
You can only shove so much equipment into one band.
Yes,
you know, and it just, you know, the more gear, the more, you know, the more expensive and the more of a headache. True. And and the three of us just get up there and, you know, we do songs in this set that don't really necessarily need it.
No,
you know.
So more weeks and weeks of touring and bed and breakfast and strange lodging houses across the UK and across Europe as well. A couple of festivals in the summer as well, I would guess, for you. Have you got some festival dates in there?
Yes. Yeah, but I couldn't really tell you what they are.
Well, we just did Hebden Bridge.
Yes.
We did Hebden Bridge.
That was,
yes.
That was a great,
was a good one.
Great time. Great. Great people. Great people. They put that on. They did a really... really great.
It was the
job.
First one they'd done up there, and it seems to have gone really, really well for them.
So yeah, that's what they were saying.
I'm so pleased for Roger because he put so much effort into it. You know,
Roger's but, great. Yeah. He's great. Yeah, he's been a very supportive of us since day one. You know,
for sure.
That whole camp, all those guys.
It's also great. I mean, I couldn't get up there, but it's a great location as well, isn't it?
Beautiful town.
Yeah. Beautiful little town. Mm-hmm. And they have it in this old, I don't know, it kind of felt like an old church.
Something.
Old building. It's really cool, but they had to set up great sound. Well run. Everybody just had a smile on their face, and it was really easy. We had some other friends that were playing there, so you know, it was great. It's like a reunion.
Beautiful town.
Beautiful town.
We looked on the schedule and realized we were going back in a few weeks with Walter Trout, so we're actually looking forward to getting back to Hebden Bridge.
The picture house.
I didn't know you were doing Hebden Bridge as well. It's just excellent news.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
That's what, about a 1,000-seat venue? Is it the picture house? Do you reckon?
Yeah, I think
That's the sad thing. We haven't got many of those in the UK. That's the big difficulty we have in the UK, as you guys probably have found out, and that is that once you get above the couple of hundred, often the next ones are just far too big. There's not that many of the right size as you're moving up through your audience sizes. You know, there's a dearth of 700,000-800,000 seater gigs. And you have to go much bigger than that necessarily. But
So I just do two nights in the 400 seater.
And then when you get back to the States, that's going to be what, late summer, I guess, by then, is it?
Towards the end of the first week of July, I guess.
And then you start in earnest promoting the album in the States as well, I guess, then.
Yes. Well, actually, we're taking 3 weeks off in July, which is a big, huge no-no for a rock band to do during festival season. Mm-hmm. But we've
not
earned it.
A damn thing.
And we kind of put our foot down about it. We had a bunch of shows. We're like, look, we need some time. You know, my liver needs 3 weeks off.
Are you all going to be heading back to different locations across the States, or do you all kind of live locally too?
No, we're pretty much...
we'll be all hanging out.
We're all going to be
about
a week after we land.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going up to a little place called Beaver Island in northern Michigan. There's a music fest up there that we're going to play at, but that's just way more for fun.
Yeah.
And we're literally just going to lounge around on the beach, Lake Michigan, and...
Yeah. Hang out with friends and family and not do anything. That.
Laugh at the sky.
And don't drive very far. No.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
No more traffic jams and all the rest of it.
In a van.
Yes.
Or a plane, or five planes in a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds... When was the five planes in a day gig?
It happened more than once.
Oh.
Yeah, we did 1 week where we were flying literally 2-3 planes every day.
Every day,
between layovers and...
In Norway and Sweden and Bulgaria.
I mean, it's bad enough as an ordinary person traveling, but when you're carrying instruments and everything else, it's a real pain.
Yeah, don't even get us started.
Yeah.
And then they lose your luggage.
Yeah. Yep. And then they break your bass in half. That happened.
Or break your luggage.
Yeah.
So the future, this album now has got, it's got a year and a half really before somebody's going to be banging on your door saying, when's the next one? So you've got a bit of time in hand to kind of recoup and write and keep on writing for the next one, I guess.
Yeah, we're actually got plans to get back in the studio real soon.
Oh.
As soon as August. Mm-hmm. With Gunshot Lullaby, our album before this, we were on the road so much, you know, that we ended up doing 4 tours off the same album.
Yes.
And that's a little too much, you know. First couple of tours were great, you know, sold a ton of CDs for us, but you could see that, you know, our three fans already had the had the album. So it took us a little too long to get Tales out, so I want to get on another album right away.
Mm-hmm.
So we're ready, because it takes us a little while to do them sometimes. Not recording. The recording part's fine. We just go in the studio, hammer them out. But it's the artwork and getting them printed and, you know, all that, and the label and so on and so forth, promotion, so on.
How much of all of that that we see? Because that's the 9/10 of the iceberg, isn't it? All the bits that go behind marketing and everything else. Yeah. How much of that is you? Are you actively involved in that, or have you got teams of workers?
I'm as actively involved in it as I can be, but it's teams. I've got my art guys in Phoenix, Arizona. You know, my pressing plants in New York. The layout people are in Detroit. I mean, there's a bunch of people over in Europe, and it's juggling, trying to keep a hold of it. And I have people that, you know, do that for me, because I just don't, there's just not enough time in the day.
It's very difficult. I know a couple of guys who hated relinquishing the control, but realized they couldn't actually have the control if they were on the road, because you could do it when you're at home, but when you're on the road, you can't be sitting in your hotel room at night trying to find a Wi-Fi and run the marketing side of the business.
You know, in this business, it's, you know, it is 85% business, 15% playing, you know, and and like we always say, we play for free, you know, we get paid to do all the other crap.
Haul the gear around.
Yeah, haul the gear around. Travel, that's what I'm getting paid for.
Pulling the bass amp out.
Yeah.
Sitting in the van for 10 hours.
Yeah.
I've already played Forever Young and Free and Pistol Whipped Again from the album. Have you ended up with a favorite of your own, basically?
Oh, they're all your children.
Yes. You like all of them. Envidious to have a favorite.
Pick your favorite child, Lamb.
What day of the week is it?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. No, I don't have a favorite.
I love We Believe because of the message behind the song.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of the anthem, the album anthem sort of thing. And
is that the one that's going down the best when it comes to live gigs as well?
It's
definitely epic.
It's epic. Yes. The story behind that particular song is, you know, in America, our healthcare situation is atrocious. And we have a dear friend who had a 5-year-old daughter who got a brain tumor and had, you know, have emergency surgery and so on and so forth, which, you know, the bills racked up into the hundreds of thousands of dollars. And so, you know, we've tried to do all kinds of different, you know, benefit things and what we could. But, you know, us being poor musicians, we just decided we were going to, music heals, and we were going to do our best to just kind of write her a prayer. And that's what we did, and that's what We Believe's about. And I think the song came out really good, and Joanne plays on it. We got a bunch of people to guest on it. And it came out pretty epic, you know. And we've been playing that one live, and it's really easy to climb inside that song because it comes straight from the heart, and so we can really, really take it places. We never play it the same way twice, you know. And the
audience respond to it each time too, I guess.
It's kind of the showstopper.
So can you see that being the kind of albatross around your neck in years to come?
Albatross. You say the magic word.
Yeah. It's a great song.
It is a great song. I don't know. It's not incredibly radio friendly because it tags in at almost like 8 minutes or something like that.
And we shaved 12 minutes.
And in the studio we shaved it in half.
It was 9 minutes.
Seconds. But, you know, it's great. It's great for live. Yes. And we just really let loose on that one live. I don't know. You know, I don't know.
No, it's just that we had a great folky, kind of bluesy folky guy called John Martin, who died only about 2 years ago. And he was around from the 60s onwards. And he had a song which was called May You Never. And it was a big hit for him. But it became kind of the anthem everybody wanted to hear when he was working live. And he came to hate it with a vengeance.
I can only imagine.
And he just refused to do it. But at every gig, and there's quite a few live album recordings of John Martin in concert in different locations, and there's always some voice way in the background, you can hear it in between the applause. May you never.
More cowbell.
Yes.
That's funny. We did a show with Blue Oyster Cult a few years back in Sturgis.
The Bikers Rally. Yes.
And everybody, 40,000 people, you know, at the Buffalo Chip at Sturgis were screaming, more cowbell. And I just felt so bad. I'm like, they must hear that everywhere. Show now.
You know? Best part, we were backstage and we met the guy who just plays cowbell. Just like, that's just his job. He's like, I'm the cowbell player for Blue Oyster Cult. Sweet, man.
Like, that's hilarious.
It's been so good to have you here today. you're going to be back, I know, later in the year, and you'll be having acoustic guitars with you, and we'll do a, definitely do a session. Really look forward to it.
Yes, have Dave, we owe you one, and we will set up and do our acoustic set. I'm sorry we're not prepared on this tour.
But no big thing. It's just been good to have you here, and sorry you've had a hell of a journey to get. What you don't know, dear listener, is they've been on the road for about 3 hours to get on what normally an hour journey, I guess, roughly.
Actually, the sat nav clocked it in at 25 minutes when we began. It took us 3 hours to get here.
Yeah. And probably the way the traffic is going to be the same getting back as well. So going to spend a whole day for a conversation on a boat. But anyways, so
it's been great.
So good to see you guys, and hopefully see you later in the year. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, man.
Let's close with something from the album Tales from the Gravel, and this is Bite You.
Yabba 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 do. You ain't careful, gonna bite you.